Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and today we're going to talk about finding God's perspective in the workplace. By the way, Harold sends his love to everybody, and he is soon going to join me back here, so keep praying. You know, it's more common than ever for people to change jobs several times in their lifetime, even change careers. A recent Gallup poll, stated that over 85% of the working force are unhappy at their current job. That is heartbreaking. It also means that most employees probably don't care quite as much as, well, that they're doing their job as well as they could or not. Have you ever noticed that? Unfortunately, that 85 has got to include a number of Christians, but that doesn't have to be that way. The first scripture that came to mind to me when I discovered this was my topic is a favorite that Harold and I like to say out of Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I want to just read a little bit more of this again. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We have to be open to change. Then we're going to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Being open to change is the first step for experiencing progress. You know, from time to time in the past, someone would write us a letter that they hated their job because their work environment is full of unsaved people who don't value anything Christian, and they're the only Christian there. They have absolutely nothing in common with any of these people. I remember very vividly the first time I read a comment like that. It was like the Lord dropped in my spirit that the sole reason they were there was to allow their fellow employees to see Him at work. Wow, I was really impacted by that. It was like He was saying, "I have entrusted them with an amazing assignment of making me real to other people." But how many people look at it from God's perspective? He could have picked anyone, but He chose them to show forth His character. We can look at it as a chore or a privilege. It's all a matter of perspective. Understanding God's perspective is a huge step towards having joy instead of drudgery at work. Everything is a learning experience, but it becomes a lot harder when all you see are the negatives. But when we can see that our purpose for being there, it starts to change everything in our lives. Your purpose is living out God's purpose of changing people's lives. As the old saying goes, for raising kids, more is caught than taught. And it has nothing to do with handing out tracts, stopping people to bring up Jesus. It simply means living your life as a Christian is taught to live. We are to be living epistles, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." So what is he saying? It's not always what we say. It's really who we are. We are all works in progress, let's face it. We never arrive, but as we continue to apply the word that's open to us daily, we are changing, whether we recognize it or not. We are ever so slowly changing into the image of our Lord. Isaiah 28, verses 10 through 13. Isaiah 28, 10 through 13 says it this way. "For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts, and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom, for unto them that receiveth I will give more." So how do we change our perspective to his perspective in the workplace, and really every place? It says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The Passion Translation says it this way: serve your employers, wholeheartedly and with love, as though you were serving Christ, not men. This verse says that if we are doing something, anything, we need to be doing it as though we're doing it for the Lord. Your boss may not be watching you, but you know what? The Lord is always watching you. So here are five ways that, well, our making the Lord our boss will change our attitude and influence our behavior in the workplace and every place. Number one, it takes personality clashes out of the equation. You know, instead of resenting your boss or supervisor for giving you an assignment, your thoughts will be directed at how to accomplish this task so it'll please the Lord. If it seems like it's an unreasonable assignment, put it in the Lord's hands and ask him for his help, like it says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, and because he cares for you. You know, when I first became a Christian at the age of 24, I went to work for a Christian institution. Boy, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. However, I soon realized that not all people who call themselves Christians want to be Christ-like. I'm sure my boss loved God. I'm sure of it. But he was also a stickler in getting the most out of you that he could possibly get out. One of the things I ended up doing was writing press releases. Now, this was in the day of the typewriter, and we had to put a carbon copy in the file. I was not what you call, and still would not be, the most excellent typist, so I faced a dilemma of messy carbons. I asked the Lord what to do, and he reminded me of the automatic typewriter the place had just purchased, so I ended up programming the press releases into it and then inserting the paper and carbon and letting it auto-type. While it was running, I'd swing around and type out the address of the newspaper on the envelope, and bingo, I was in business. When your mind is free of this is a totally unfair situation, negativity, it gives you more access of hearing what the Lord has in mind in ways to allow you to escape the negativity. I don't want to make this sound like it was easy, because honestly, these were the hardest 5 years I'd ever spent anywhere at any point. But what happened was there was a powerful principle of increase behind the mindset the Lord led me into of being his employee, not the institution's employee. As long as I wasn't being resentful of some of the treatment I received, the Lord continued to give me wisdom in handling the positions and the things that I had to handle on my job. Number two, when you see God as your employer, you begin to look at everything you do in excellence. Another job I was given was to answer the phone. I was given a book to read about how to answer the phone. Now, you may laugh and say everyone knows how to answer a phone. I really don't remember a word I read now, but there is something to be said about the person who answers the phone for an important business. Usually the task, which was also given to me because, is given to the person with the lowest pay and the lowest thought of person. Well, you know what? That was me. However, if someone is calling your business for the first time, your attitude and tone will give them the only impression of what the business stands for. And one time I was kept back, well, many times, to answer the phone while everyone went to a 30-minute chapel service once a week. Just so happened that just before the chapel was to end one day, a gentleman called and wanted to speak to the CEO. I informed him that he was at chapel, but I could take a message. His immediate response was, "I'll call back." But instead of letting it go, and I'm sure I got all these directions out of the book, I assure you, I told him it was just about over and I'd be sure to give the CEO his message as soon as he got back. He started to decline again, but I told him, "Look, it's no trouble." And he ended up giving me his name and number. When the CEO came back, I gave him the message and thought nothing else about it. Sometime later, the CEO came to my desk and told me that the man who had called was trying to give the college a substantial amount of money. And he said the man attributed the gift to the way I handled his call. Now, I'm telling you, I was floored to hear that, but I also knew that it was God's hand on me, because if my conduct had been toward the way I felt about the CEO, I might not have handled it as well. But since I was doing it for God, I succeeded. Number three, when you are performing in a mode of excellence, even the naysayers will respect you. Everyone, I'm sure on this call, because we're all old enough to know it, we know that if someone is talking about other people behind their back, that we can be assured they're talking about us behind our back. But there is a certain respect that even the unsaved have for a person who refuses to participate. It's not about calling them out. It's about excusing yourself politely and walking out. Number four, it's hard to find fault with an excellent employee. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12 gives us this advice. And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This scripture is not necessarily saying not to mingle with your coworkers, as much as it's saying not join in with the activities that do not glorify God. If you read in the book of Daniel, you find a perfect example of doing what was required without joining in with all the unbelievers he worked with. And number five, treat everyone with respect. The golden rule applies to everyone. And in Acts 10:34, it says that Jesus was no respecter of persons. That means we are to be the same. There should be no difference in our behavior toward the CEO than the one we have for the janitor who cleans the office. All have a job to do, and all work is worthy of respect. You never know when you might drop an important piece of paper on the floor near the trash can, and the night cleaner finds it and puts it back on your desk just in case it was a mistake. If we treat people the way we would want to be treated, we will reap a harvest of blessing. We can be sure of it. Before we close, we want to remember to remind you to join us for Rich Thoughts TV tonight. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Savior Connect. Hopefully you can find us on our website, join Harold and Bev. And I'm trying to think of the other one, but I'm sure you know what it is. Anyway, you have a sensational Sunday. And we will look forward, I think it's Facebook. We will look forward to hearing from you tonight. And until then, God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you and appreciate you. Bye-bye.